God. Glory to 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 God. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Boy, it feels good in here tonight. It feels really good in this place. Can you say amen? Say, I am thankful. Praise God, praise God. Brother Daniel Walter, our pastor in Colonial Heights. No? Chester. Same difference. Side by side. With us tonight, wave your hand. We love that man right there. We love him. All the way from Jewett, Ohio. I called it Harrison Hills this morning because when I was a kid, I went to that church to sing a number of times with our choir, and it was called Harrison Hills United Pentecostal Church back then. Their pastor, brother and sister Spellman, are with us this weekend and a few days this week. Would you welcome them? We're glad to have them at Bible World. This morning I preached a message entitled, Getting Past Your Past. If you were not here this morning, you owe it to yourself to get a copy of that tape so you can catch up with where we're going to be tonight. Tonight is really part two of the same message. I'll give it a different name because I want to give it a little different focus. But it's part two of the same message. This morning, getting past your past. Tonight, I'm speaking on spiritual cleansing. Everybody said spiritual cleansing. Say it again, spiritual cleansing. We need to be right with God, church.
Amen.
More than we need anything else, Amen. We need to be right with God. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming again? How many of you believe it's going to be soon? How many of you know that there's absolutely nothing worth not going to heaven over?
Amen.
Nothing. Don't let nobody or nothing stop you from making heaven your home. I don't know if I'm teaching or preaching or a mixture of those two, or maybe even mixed in a little bit of meddling this morning and tonight. But I'm going to pastor you.
Amen.
We've had a lot of guests here the last 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, and I thank God for every one of them. And my, have we had church.
Amen.
I think it was 26 got the Holy Ghost last Sunday. 5 in our children's revival got the Holy Ghost. 14 refilled. Doing this by memory. 6 or 7 baptized. Am I close?
Yes, sir.
Baptized in water. Thank God for all of that.
Amen.
Today, I got my pastor's hat on.
Amen.
And I'm going to be trying to pastor us tonight. Turn back in your Bibles right where we started this morning. Psalm 51. This is 50 chapters into the 150 chapters of the book of Psalms. A lot of people say that this is solely David's response to his sin with Bathsheba. The truth of the matter is, David, before this and after this, messed up a few times.
Yes, he did.
He didn't just mess up with Bathsheba, and that's the only sin of his life. There was a number of times he was back on his face asking God to cleanse him, to help him, to make him right. Let's read about it. Psalm 51, beginning in verse number 1. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Everybody say, blot out.
Blot out.
Blot out my transgressions. Say, wash me.
Wash me.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Say, cleanse me. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth. Everybody say truth.
Truth.
In the inward parts. Say inward parts.
Inward parts.
Say it again. Inward parts.
Inward parts.
God wants truth on the inside.
Amen.
And in the hidden parts. Say hidden part.
Hidden part.
Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Say purge me.
Purge me.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Say, wash me.
Wash me.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. What a prayer. What a petition to ask of God. Hide thy face from my sins. Say, blot out.
Blot out.
And blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10. Say, create.
Create.
Create in me a what?
Clean heart.
Clean heart. Oh God. And renew a what?
A right spirit
within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I want to point out some words to you. David said, blot out my transgressions. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins. He said, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And here's the bottom line. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. My subject tonight is spiritual cleansing. God bless you. You may be seated. Just remember, teaching, a little bit of preaching thrown in, and a whole lot of meddling, and you'll be okay. Cleansing happens to be one of the crazes of our day. My wife told me this week that I needed a liver cleanse. Never heard of such a thing. Wouldn't know how to begin such a thing. Don't have a clue how. Is it in there? How to get to it and cleanse it. But that's what she said I needed. I Googled this week after she said that. You got to know the dynamic between my wife and I. I just would never dare tell her I don't know what she's talking about. I'll hear about it for the next 25 years if she even thinks she knows something I don't know. So when she left the room, I Googled it only to find out that there's about 40 different liver cleanses. They got all kind of mixtures, all kind of stuff you can drink and powders you can take and milkshakes you can make. And it just goes on and on and on. But while I was looking up, cleansing my liver, there's a lot of other stuff that came up. They got something they call a colon cleanse. They got a juice cleanse. They got a kidney cleanse. I'm not making this up. A family actually came to me this morning and said they were sent to a doctor to get a kidney cleanse. When they went to the doctor, paid all kind of money to get a kidney cleanse, he comes out afterwards and says, "I got good news for you. You didn't need it. Your kidneys are perfect." I said, "So did you say thanks and walk out without paying him? If you didn't really need it?" Kidney cleanse. A detox cleanse. A natural cleanse. An herbal full body cleanse. And then I guess to get all of it, they got something they call a master cleanse. And then the one that don't make no sense to this country boy is the full body mud cleanse. See, I grew up around hogs and cattle wallowing in the mud, and wasn't none of them clean. It didn't help any of them. It just seems odd to me for the word mud and cleanse to even be used in the same sentence. But I went on and did a little more reading and found out that there's big money in mud cleanses. People will pay thousands of dollars. Church, we need to do a fundraiser. We've been looking for something to do. I found it. Fill up boxes with mud and tell rich folks it ain't got no sense, but they got lots of money to come get in our mud box. Well, to be more serious, cleansing is very scriptural. But not mud baths. Not juice cleanse, not liver cleanse, not kidney cleanse, not honey and lemon cleanse, not olive oil cleanse, but cleansing of the heart, the mind, the spirit, and the soul. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22, the Apostle Paul wrote, "So let us come near to God with a sincere heart. Let us come near boldly because of our faith." Here it is. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from a sense of guilt. It's this morning's message. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. The Bible teaches that believers should cleanse their minds. Believers should cleanse their spirit. Believers should cleanse their heart and their soul. It's something that we ought to be conscious of. It's something we ought to make effort toward. You see, one thing I know that all of us know is that we live in a very contaminated world. Hello? We are continually surrounded by sin and ungodliness, immorality, hatred, strife, division, racism, salacious talk, murder, abuse, and a whole lot more. You can't watch the TV 10 minutes without things on that list being fed into your spirit. There are very few magazines, periodicals printed that you can read that somewhere through picture or advertisement or article, trash, poison is fed into your spirit. You can't listen to ungodly music without it feeding poison into your spirit. You can't search the web. I'm not talking about looking for bad. I'm talking about looking for good, and bad's going to come up. Hello? Just constantly harassing and bombarding our spirit and our soul and our mind and our heart. We've got to be more conscious of our need for spiritual cleansing. Not only do we need a good spiritual cleansing now, but we need spiritual cleansing often. We need to be conscious of the fact that one of the reasons I go to the house of God. Now, I love it the way we danced and shouted tonight. And Bible world, don't you ever quit doing that for nobody, no thing, no reason. It's always in order to magnify the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. But listen to me. We don't just come here for a shout. We don't just come here for fellowship. We don't just come here to show off our clothes. We don't just come here to hear a fancy sermon. We come to this place, most importantly, to allow the washing of the Word of God to cleanse the nastiness and the filthiness from our spirit. Say amen, somebody. None of us that are sane, maybe I should say, none of us would intentionally eat or drink poison that would destroy or harm our body. Amen? Don't scare me. Somebody say amen to that. Then why do we deliberately indulge in the spiritual poisons of this generation, knowing that if they're let go, they're going to kill the spirit. They're going to harm our relationship with God. They're going to filthy up the temple of God. Know you not that your body is the temple of God? Do you know the way to get into your body is through your mind? Through what you look at, what you listen to, and what you sense or what you feel. Listen to me. Somebody hear me tonight. We've got to be more careful about the voices and the sounds and the ideas and the concepts and the principles that we are indulging in today, that we are receiving into our mind and into our spirit, because if we're not careful, we're going to be full of the poison that will destroy our relationship with God. Y'all with me? The psalmist David, I read to you in Psalm 51 and 10. He addresses the matters of the heart when he said, "Create in me, God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." It's a prayer we ought to pray often, church. It's not a prayer that just belonged to David because of Bathsheba, because of his disobedience to God. When God gave him specific commands, he went another direction. Disobedience, rebellion. The Bible said rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. That verse don't just belong to David. That verse belongs to the church of 2017. Hold on. And I'm going to tell you that the church of 2017 needs that verse more than David needed it. There are things we hear every day, things we see every day, things that we sense every day, things that we touch every day, that all make their way into our spirit, into our heart and our soul and our mind. And if we're not careful, we'll be walking around with a load of trash and garbage that we've picked up in this world, and it keeps us from being spiritually sensitive. It keeps us from being right with God. It keeps us from hearing the voice of God. It keeps us from following God. It keeps us from being faithful to God. It keeps us from having faith in God. It keeps us from hearing, thus saith the word of God, because our spirits and our minds are poisoned by all the garbage we collect in this world. And so every day, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, it's never been more important. Never, 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 ever been more important for you to be in the house of God. Because this is a place where you can cut all that garbage off and get right with God. I'm not going to repeat myself from this morning, but let me say to you that if you don't deal with the poison that gets in your spirit from every day living in this world, that poison will eventually overtake you. It will eventually bitter your spirit. It will eventually take root and become part of you. I have known people that struggled to get rid of the trash in their life. And it was extremely difficult because they had let it go so long that it had taken up residence in their mind and in their spirit. Every time you come to the house of God, I said it this morning, people have said to me, Pastor, I feel so bad because every time you give an altar call, I go to the altar and I weep and I wail and cry. I pastored a man by the name of Eric Morrison, one of the finest men I ever pastored in my lifetime. That man loves God passionately, lives in Florida now. But he came to me when he had been in church maybe 2 or 3 years. And he said, Pastor, I'm the most horrible saint in your church. I said, why do you say that, Eric? He said, I go to the altar every service. I go every Sunday morning. I go every Sunday night. I go every Wednesday night. It don't matter what you preach. I feel like it's for me. I go to the altar. I repent. I pour myself out on the altar only next service to feel like I need to do it again and again and again. And he said, would you forgive me? I said, Eric, I'm not worried about you coming to the altar every service. I said, but the first service you sit through and feel nothing, and you no longer feel like I need to find a place to pray. You no longer feel like I need to rid myself, wash myself, cleanse myself in the presence of God. I no longer need to let the Word of God cleanse me. The first time you come to church and don't feel like that, then you come and talk to me. Because then is when we'll have a problem. It's not wrong of us to continually be thinking, I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to talk like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want worldly habits. I don't want to dress like the world. Here's a new one for the 2017s. I don't want to think like the world. I don't want to take the positions the world takes. And you've got to be careful. We have you here if you're faithful. We have you here about 4.5 hours a week. Hour and a half Sunday morning, hour and a half Sunday night, hour and a half Wednesday night. About 4.5 hours a week. Most of you spend more time than that in the car driving back and forth to work listening to the radio in a week's time. You all spend more time than that in school if you're in school. More time than that on the job if you have a job. And if you're like the average American, you spend 4 times that amount of time watching television. They ought to change the name of it to Hellavision. You know what television even means? All you English scholars, tele means the entrance of light. It's the definition of tele, T-E-L-E, the introduction of light. Vision, vision is light itself. Television means the introduction of light. I'd like to present to you that it's the devil's tool that he uses to try to mimic God, who's the only one that can give you real true light. And the devil uses television to try to introduce false light. I really wouldn't mind if all you had a television for was to watch news, but you're lying about it. And that makes it worse. I really wouldn't mind if you had a television just to watch a ball game. But the nastiest and most salacious commercials on television are during ball games. Hello? And you allow all that trash to come in your spirit. The people you work with, the way they talk, the things they talk about, their ideas and their concepts, you're rubbing shoulders with that. You're having to hear it whether you participate or not. You can't afford to stay home from church on Wednesday night and miss a washing of the Word. You can't afford to stay home on a Sunday morning and miss the washing of the Word. You can't afford to stay home from church on Sunday night and miss a washing of the Word. Say amen, somebody. Now, I'm going to quit preaching, start teaching. I want to share with you 10 things, and I'll move quick. I promise I'll move quick. I want to share with you 10 areas that need immediate and continuing cleansing. Write them down. They'll be on the screen. Get your phones out and take pictures of them if you want to. Or stop at the sound booth. They'll give you my notes or the PowerPoint free of charge. Just step up there with your phone and they'll Bluetooth it to you standing right in front of the sound booth. But I want you to have this stuff. Number one, realize that everything counts. Everything counts. Absolutely everything that we allow into our mind and life has an impact on how we grow or don't grow spiritually. Somebody wrote a book, said, "Don't sweat the small stuff." Obviously, whoever wrote that book's never been in bed with a mosquito. It's exactly contrary to the Scripture. Because the Bible said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Everything matters. Everything you allow yourself to look at. Everything you allow yourself to read. Every conversation you allow yourself to participate in. Every relationship you allow yourself to be a part of. Every person you allow influence in your life, everything matters. Everything counts. It may not be any one thing that spoils or poisons your spirit. But the devil's a master chess player. He knows how to bring one thing from here and one thing from there and one thing from here and the combination of all the little things. You may want to argue, preacher. Is that thing in and of itself really going to make me backslide? I've been pastoring 41 years this year. I promise you I've been asked 1,000 times or more by saints of God, preacher, how close can I get to the world and still be saved? Preacher, can I do this and still be right with God? Preacher, can I go there and still be right with God? Preacher, can I date him and still be right with God? In the last 41 years, thousands of times, people have talked to me about how close can I get to the line with the world and still be in the church? In 41 years, I've never had one saint come and say, preacher, tell me how I can get further from the world. Tell me things I ought to quit doing in my life. Not one appointment in 41 years. Preacher, tell me things I ought to give up. Tell me people I shouldn't run with. Tell me things I ought to get out of my house. Not once, but thousands of times. How close can I get to the world? Maybe one foot in and one foot out. And can I still be saved? You've got to be careful, friend, because every little thing matters. It's one of the reasons when you come in here, you've got to say to God from an honest heart, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. Before I walk out those doors tonight, I may be around trash tomorrow. My spirit may get poisoned again Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday before I get back to the house of God. But God, tonight, before I leave this place, I want you to cleanse me. I want you to make my heart right. I want you to make my mind right. I want you to help me to have a right spirit. I want to be right before you. Say amen, somebody. The little choices that we make every day add up to a significant effect on our soul. And so we have to take every day decisions seriously. Anybody mad? Anybody happy? If you're mad, we'll give an altar call. Number two, get your cameras out. Number two, identify the lies that have deceived you and replace them with truth. This one's going to be a little more difficult, so give me your undivided attention. I can't do this thing for you that I'm going to suggest. Your spouse can't do it for you. None of our 17 pastors can do it for you. Our 3 or 4 or 5 masters or doctors of counseling and psychology can't do it for you. You have to do this for yourself. And here it is. You have to examine your own life for toxic behaviors. You have to identify the things that you do that harms your spiritual sensitivity. I'm talking about what someone else does. Boy, are we good at that. Aren't we great at examining? Well, let me tell you, I know what's wrong with Joe. You want to hear? You want to hear what I think? This is what I think is wrong with Joe. Do we have a Joe in here? I don't think so. good at examining other people. But we have to identify the lies that we've bought into. And it begins by examining self. What have I done? What am I doing that harms my spiritual sensitivity? What am I doing that distracts me from God's purpose for my life? What am I doing? What are my feelings and my thoughts that I allow to lead me away from biblical principles? If there's one concern I have, I'm teaching right now. If there's one concern I have about this generation, is that we are all divided into packs, into groups, and we are becoming more loyal to our packs than we are the Word of God. I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, a Tea Party, a Green Party. I don't care what your political persuasion is. I'm telling you, none of them are godly, and none of them's platform or none of them's position takes authority over the Word of God. None of them. Now, if I'm not pastor of everybody, I'm not pastor of nobody. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry. It's just me. I treat everybody the same. We are not to be loyal to white folks. This is what all the white people think. Guess what? White people have been making wrong decisions for centuries. You don't need to be loyal to what black thinking is. You don't need to be loyal to Spanish thinking, French thinking, Filipino thinking. Why not, preacher? Because this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I've got treasures laid up over there. If you don't identify the thoughts and the feelings that lead you away from biblical principles, then who's going to do it? We have to identify the harmful things. Gonna get mad at me again. We have to identify the harmful things that we consume mentally. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you consuming mentally that comes between you and godliness? Hello? We must identify, put your seatbelt on, people that we spend time with who we know drag us down spiritually. You spend time with somebody that every time you go home, you're thinking, boy, was I ever tempted to smoke. Boy, was I ever tempted to drink. Boy, was I ever tempted to cuss. Boy, was I ever tempted to step out on my spouse. Boy, was I ever tempted to get in a fight. Man, every time I'm around that dude, he about gets me in a fight. Hello? You need to identify people that drag you down spiritually. And here goes. Either limit severely or cut your relationship with them. Amen. How do we do that, Brother Cunningham? We ask God to give us wisdom to discern those people, things, habits, etc. that are spiritually toxic. And when we know in our heart and our mind and our spirit that that thing or that person or that habit or that event is spiritually toxic to my soul, I'm not going to participate in it. I want to have a clean heart before God. Number three, I should have thought about some of these a little more before I put them in my notes. I'm going to make more people mad tonight than I am happy. Number three, clean up your thoughts. Spiritual battles. Had the Holy Ghost 41 years. I've had the Holy Ghost 52 years. I've been in ministry 41 years. And let me tell you something I know for a fact. Spiritual battles are fought and won or lost in the mind. Hello? I told the church this morning, one of my favorite preachers in St. Louis, Missouri, was preaching along one night and preaching about sin. And he said, folks, let me tell you, sin don't begin in the bed, sin begins in the head. I promise you, there's never been a man go to bed with a woman or a woman with a man that they didn't do it in their head a long time before they did it in bed. There's nobody ever whooped anybody that they didn't whoop them up here before they whooped them with their fist. There's nobody ever told anybody off, literally, that they didn't tell them off up here and have full conversations with them up here and played out every scenario up here. Clean up your thoughts. Worry about your thoughts. Say, nobody knows my thoughts. God does. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. It is so crucial that we pay attention to what we are focusing on. Our thoughts literally shape our relationship with God. If you think ungodly thoughts, eventually you'll be an ungodly person. Examine the thoughts that enter your mind. Be honest with yourself. Am I fixated on things that are unholy? Am I fixated on the unholy? And if you are, there needs to be a battle in your own brain, in your own thoughts. You need to notify your mind. You're fixing to be cleansed. There's going to be a cleansing take place. Say amen. Amen. Are your thoughts pleasing or displeasing to God? Philippians 4 and 8, Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Get your mind under control. Number four, and I'll hurry. Use positive, not negative words. Recognize the incredible power of words to either bring about good or evil. Your words can dramatically make a relationship better or worse. Kind and positive words create and heal, while negative words harm and destroy. Proverbs 18 and 21 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What are you saying? Could be an indication of what's in your heart. Number five. It's going to get harder, not easier. Number five, uncover hidden sins. Uncover hidden sins. David said in Psalm 19 and 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Let me tell you something beautiful about God. The Bible said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Got a lot of nurses in here. A wound is an outward breaking of the flesh. Might require a band-aid, could even require stitches, but it's an opening of the skin. It's a cut. It's a wound. The Bible said He was wounded for our transgression. A transgression is an open breaking of the law of God. Transgressing against God's law. It's open, it's public. Everybody knows about it. And the Bible said He was bruised for our iniquities. A bruise is under the skin. That's why the skin discolors. There's a breaking on the inside. There's bleeding on the inside. And it creates a bruise or discoloring on the outside. And iniquity is a hidden sin of the heart. And the Bible said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was broken outwardly for our outward sins. He was bruised inwardly for our inward sins. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. If you've got sins that are hidden, don't worry about it. God shed blood for your inward sins as well. If you'll put them on the altar, He'll forgive you and cleanse you. But we have to understand that no sin is ever hidden from God. No sin hidden from God. God knows all of our sins. He knows every mistake you've ever made, every wrong you've ever done. Your spouse may not know. Your best friend may not know. Nobody in this church may know. But God knows. And here's the good news. He loves you even though He knows. He knows all the warts. He knows all the messes you've made. He knows all the offenses you've committed. And God still loves you. But here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to be honest. Uncover those hidden. Where do I do that, preacher? Where's that little box at where you go in one side and I go in the other and I tell you all? No, we don't do that around here. You want to know where you take that stuff? Right here. We still believe in an old-fashioned altar of coming and putting your sins on the altar and telling God the mistakes that you've made. You don't got to tell me. You don't got to tell some pastor. You sure don't want to tell some busybody saint. Anybody that says to you, tell me what you've done and it'll help me pray for you, they're a lying dog. They're going to run off and tell everybody they can tell. They're a lying, stinking dog. Don't you tell nobody. There's nothing in the Bible about you confessing yourself, your innermost secrets and sins to any man. We don't have a Catholic box here for you to go into and make your confessions. You make your confession to God. And God said that if you'll confess your sins, He said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But it starts with us uncovering hidden. It's not hidden from God anyway. Somebody said amen. Everybody said amen. Number six, dig up bitter roots from your soul. Bitterness truly is a poison. When we allow bitterness to take root in our spirit, hear me, it poisons us first. And then it will poison those around us. And then it will poison everything we ever attempt to do for God. Y'all wish I was preaching somewhere else today? Bitterness blocks us from experiencing the blessing and the favor of God. Bitterness is difficult to get rid of because it requires us to forgive. Hello? It requires us to forgive. We have to learn to forgive unfairness. Unfairness isn't going to go away. Unfair people are not going to disappear. They're going to be here as long as we're here. You have to learn to forgive unfairness. You have to learn to forgive hurt. You have to learn to forgive wrong that's done. You need to learn to forgive pain and painful situations that have been inflicted upon you. You've got to learn to forgive people. Hello? Hello? Number seven. Get rid of envy. Get rid of envy. Envying people who have what you want. But you don't have. Will poison you. Envy. How come God gave them that car? How come God gave them that house? How come God gives them that kind of money, that kind of job, those kind of clothes? Why doesn't their family have the pain my family has? Envy, envy. We have to learn to be content with what God gives us. Another difficult one. Number eight, express anger productively rather than destructively. Ephesians 4 and 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not." I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a man that don't have a temper. And I wouldn't give you another plug nickel for a man that can't control that temper. Be angry, but sin not. The meaning of that is it's okay to get angry as long as you don't sin. As long as your anger don't make you sin. You say, "Preacher, how does anger turn into sin?" It turns into sin when you plot revenge. When you seek vengeance. When you allow it to become unforgiveness in you. When you have deliberate unkindness toward another person. When you determine to exact injury to another person. Then anger has become sin. There's nothing wrong with anger. Anger's healthy. All these people around here going to psychology and getting their masters and doctorates, I'm so proud of you. They'll tell you that anger is healthy. Anger is self-protection. Somebody swings a ball bat at your kneecap, you get angry and jump back. It's your anger that keeps you from getting hurt. It's the anger that protects you. You step back. You protect yourself. You get away from that thing that's going to hurt you. But if you take the ball bat away from them and beat the snot out of them, it just turned into sin. Be angry, but sin not. Number nine, break free from fear. Do you know the phrase "fear not" is in your Bible 83 times? 83 times God said, "Fear not." Now here it is. Some of you is going to agree with me, some of you is going to disagree. But fear is not an emotion that comes from God. Fear is not of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear is not of God. Rather than placing your faith in all the what ifs of life, isn't it amazing the scenarios that we play out? Well, what if this happens? And oh, I'm scared to death, preacher, if that happens. Oh, preacher, I'm afraid this is going to happen. Oh, preacher, you know, it's amazing how many battles we fight tomorrow, and tomorrow's not even here yet. We get so afraid of what may or may not happen. We need to place our faith in God, who is in charge of our future and who is always going to do what is best for me. Now listen, if you believe that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, you cannot believe that verse and believe that the devil has any influence in your life. It's impossible. You cannot believe that my steps are ordered by God and at the same time believe that what's happening to me right now, the devil's in control of. Preacher, what about when we go through bad things? Sometimes we do go through bad things. Joseph told his brethren, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." God can take any situation and turn it for your good as a child of God. And I'm quitting. Number 10, we need to get rid of toxic influences in our life. We need to break free of materialism, money and things. Break free from materialism. We need to break free of associations that produce an unhealthy or false sense of happiness. I didn't say it this morning. I was trying to be kind. Tonight I'm going to say it. Happiness, the pursuit of happiness, is killing the apostolic church. You don't have to clap your hands. You don't have to even believe it if you don't want. The things we do in pursuit of happiness. And you know the happiness we're talking about is the happiness of the flesh. Want to make this old flesh happy. It's killing the apostolic church. If you've got something in your life that is toxic to your relationship with God, that's destroying your relationship with God, and you did it, you started it, you pursued it because you wanted to be happy, why don't you back away from that thing that's toxic? Get it out of your life and make your mind up that the happiness I get from serving God is a lasting happiness. It's a pure happiness. It's a godly happiness. It's a happiness that I don't have to be ashamed of down the road. Break free from media that you recognize is toxic to you. Break free from bad company that corrupts good character. Break free from people who are dangerous, detrimental to your spiritual growth, to what God has called you to do. I didn't get done again. We may have to have a part three. This morning we talked about guilt, getting past your past. If you didn't hear it, you need to. Getting past your past. You've got to forgive you. You've got to free you. You've got to get your relationship with God right. And many, many times that means leaving your past behind you. Pressing toward the mark that's before you. Too many of us are walking with God like this. Looking over our shoulder. You're not that anymore. You're not what you used to be. I said, you're not what you used to be. And the voice that's telling you you are. The voice that's telling you you're no good. The voice that continually brings up your past. Let me make it plain. Is the voice of Satan himself. Stand with me. I'll quit if you're standing. Talked to you about a lot of things tonight. Didn't take time, the time necessary probably with any of them. You're very, very, very super intelligent people. I believe you'll get it. Here's what Paul told Timothy, his son in the gospel, 2 Timothy 2:21, and I offer this verse in closing. Paul told Timothy that if a man or a woman, if a man, therefore, will cleanse himself from these. If a man, therefore, will cleanse himself from these, he will be a vessel to honor, sanctified, and meet, oh my, for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. All that cool stuff at the end of that verse depends on that first few words. If a man therefore will cleanse himself of these. All these things we've talked about. If we'll cleanse ourselves from anything that harms our relationship with God. Anything that stops us from being what pleases God. Anything that disrupts or poisons our thinking or our spirit. If we'll cleanse ourselves and separate ourselves, wash ourselves free from the poisons and the trash, the garbage of this world that the world wants to pile on you. If we'll cleanse ourselves from all that, that's when he said he'll be a vessel to honor. Sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared to every good work. How many of you, that's what you want? Would you lift both your hands to heaven and pray David's prayer? Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Would everybody, no matter what you've done, no matter where you come from, no matter what's in your past, no matter what the enemy's been trying to put on you. I want you to pray that prayer all over this house. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me, God, a right spirit. Oh God. Search me, oh God. There be any unclean thing in me. Search me, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Now I'm going to do something I need to do. I don't want one single person walking away from here thinking, look how bad I am. Man, there were several of those things preacher talked about that I'm struggling with. I'm going to do something preachers aren't supposed to do. I'm going to tell you that several of those things are on the list because they're what I'm struggling with. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and tell you I mastered all 10 of those. That's why I'm qualified to talk to you about them. Hello? There's times I've got to work on this whole flesh. There's times I see things that I can't unsee. There's times I get thoughts that I don't want to have. There's times I want to wad up my fist and bust somebody right on the end of the nose. Hello? I'm not doing it. But it ain't 'cause in my mind I haven't thought it. Why would you do that, preacher? You're ruining my view of you. Then you've had a skewed view of me. You've had a wrong view of me. I don't have a wrong view of you. All of you that's looking at me like you're shocked, I don't have a wrong view of you. But if we can't be honest with one another, if we can't start being honest with God, the people, strong statement, the people that Jesus absolutely hated, he didn't dislike them. He didn't just not want to be around them. He despised them. It's a sect of people he called the Pharisees. Here's what he said about them. He said, "You're whited sepulchers. Full of dead men's rotten bones. On the outside you look pretty cool. But on the inside there's all this dead, rot, nastiness." He said, you're clouds without water. You look right, but you're not right. And if we can't be honest with ourselves and God, if we can't be honest and say, I need a cleansing from time to time. I need to get to an altar again. I need to hear the Word of God again. I want the Word to break up the fallow ground that's in me. I want to be right with God. If we live the life of a Pharisee, we're not fooling anybody but ourselves. Hello? Hello? It's important, folks. It's important that you're in church. It's important that you hear the Word when you get here. It's important that when you're here, you worship God. What am I doing, preacher? You're trying to get into the presence of God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Some of us praise, praise. We're not praising God. We praise our praise. We like the feeling of juking and jiving and bebopping down the aisle. And that's what we're all excited about. And that's not what it is about. It's supposed to be about praising Him. Hold on. For the purpose of me getting into His presence. If I can get in this place, if I can feel the presence of God, if I can allow the light of the Holy Ghost to shine on me, I'll see all them imperfections. And if I'll listen to the Word of God, that Word of God will wash me clean. It'll wash away the imperfections, and I can leave here cleansed, ready to go out into a world. Till I can get back again for another cleansing. If I really didn't believe Jesus was coming, none of this preaching would be necessary. But I believe with every fiber of my being that this church is going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to be ready. I want us to be ready. Somebody said, in Jesus' name. Brother Troy, say whatever God puts on your heart and then dismiss us. Praise God.
Well, church, hearing this word tonight, I don't think it would be proper if we did not allow this altar to be open tonight and for us to find a place for personal cleansing. I believe, as Pastor said, that we will see the coming of the Lord. And I believe tonight is a prime opportunity for us to get spiritually cleansed, to start that journey, a spiritual journey of cleansing that will take place by getting rid of the negative words, getting rid of the negative influences. So come on right now. Don't even wait for the music. I want you to come up to this altar right now, and we're going to find a place, and we're going to begin to lift our voice, begin to lift our hands. Let's begin to commit ourselves to God. Let's begin to ask God to cleanse our minds, our thoughts, the influences that have had influence over us. We're taking a stand right now against the ungodliness of this world. We're taking a stand right now against the sin that's saturated in this society. All the places outside of these four walls that'll defile us. But I'm standing right now, God, from my family, and I'm saying, God, no more, Lord God. No more ungodly influences, God. God, today, tonight, I'm making a stand, Lord God. Hallelujah. I'm holding on to the Word of God. I'm holding on to Your name. I'm holding on to faith, God. I need You in my life. Hallelujah, God. God, show Yourself mighty. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's it, church. That's it, church. Come on, give it to God. Give it to God. Maybe you've been carrying a burden in your life. Tonight, lay it down. Don't carry a burden that God was meant to take. He was meant to lift that heavy burden off your load. That's what Calvary was about. That's where our sins were dealt with. You're not dealing with your past anymore. Hallelujah. God's dealt with your past. In Jesus' name. Come on, that's it. Hallelujah. Let's press in tonight. Let's commit to God. Hallelujah. We worship you. That's so beautiful. I want our ministers to start making their way around this altar. I see young men crying. I see tears falling down faces. I see sincere hearts tonight. God's doing something in life. He's doing something in families. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Maybe your walk with God's grown dry, but tonight God is ready to renew it. Hallelujah. Oh God, have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Come on, young person. Come on, young person. The world is after you. The world is after you, young person. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Come on, husbands. Come on, husbands. I want you to stand and fight for your family, but it's going to start with spiritual cleansing. Cleansing your mind. Cleansing your heart, cleansing your thoughts, the influences, the voices, the negative words, the unproductive anger. Come on, husbands. Fight for your family. Fight for your wife. Fight for your marriage. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, wife. Hallelujah. God's got a plan for you. God's going to use you and your family. He's using you in your home. Hallelujah. You will be a vessel of honor. In Jesus' name. Be the godly influence in your home, wife. That's it. God's here. His mercy's here. His forgiveness is here. His restoration is here. You can find strength tonight. You don't have to trip over the same things anymore. Hallelujah. God is a liberator. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I need everybody's attention real quick. As I was up here thinking about tonight and tonight's message, the Lord just began to move upon me, upon husbands and wives and parents. And so real quickly, if you're here tonight with your family, I want your families to gather together. Spiritual cleansing not just affects individuals, but it infects entire households. Husbands and wives and parents and children, even brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, if you're here tonight, I want you to get together with your families. We're going to have a family prayer before we dismiss tonight. I want whole households together. Husbands, come by your wives. Children, get with your parents, please. When God did a work, He often did a work to an entire family and to an entire household. And at Bible World Church, we believe in the family. Amen. Pastor Cunningham often says that a strong church is made up of strong family. We also know that not only are individual sins under attack in the world, but the family's under attack in the world. The enemy works against our families and our marriages and against our parenting of our kids. And so we're going to pray one more time tonight as families. And let's pray for spiritual cleansing in our families. Maybe we're going to start making some changes in our home. Not just personally, but moms and dads. Make stands in your home about the kind of influences that are coming into our houses. And let's be attentive and aware to all these things. And let's really give God everything that we can give. So right now, come on. Families, you're together. Let's lift our hands together. Put your arms around one another. God, cleanse my family, Lord God. God, I take authority in the name of Jesus over the evil influences that come in over television. God, the music, it will no longer be played in my household, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I claim my marriage, oh God. I claim my children, Lord Jesus. God, my home, oh Lord, is a temple of God. Hallelujah. I declare my home, God, is territory for God, for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, have your hand on every family in the name of Jesus. We rebuke division, God. We rebuke the devourer, oh God, in Jesus' name. I pray, God, for blessing, Lord God. That's it. That's it. Fight for your family. Fight for your family. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. God, touch every home. God, touch every family. God, touch every marriage. God, touch these parents, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, touch them, Lord God. In Jesus' name. God, we declare victory. We declare redemption. We declare salvation. We declare healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, let love reign supreme. Come on, can we turn that into a praise? Can we lift our hands tonight? God's heard our prayers. We're making a stand in our families. Put your hands together. God is good. God loves us. Hallelujah. God's got a plan for us. Each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I know I'm going to take what pastors preached this morning and tonight, and you really do need to get this morning's message. If you missed it, get it, and with tonight's message, put it together, play them, and make a stand for your family. Let's begin to make sure that we are cleansed and that our past no longer is binding us. Pastor Thorpe has got an announcement to make.
Praise God. For all of our Virginia licensed ministers, our presbyter, Brother Douglas, has called a sectional meeting for ministers that you are all invited to on Tuesday at NAC at 10 o'clock. So pastor would like you to be there if you can be. So that's what I have to say. And I guess we are dismissed. Yes, if you're off work, we don't expect you to have to take off. But if you're off, please be there. 10 o'clock at NAC. And you're dismissed in Jesus' name.